another, by reading a poem whose title is stolen, as a number of titles of my poems are, from musical compositions, often jazz and blues. The relationship between the source from which the title has been stolen and the poem to which I have spirited the stolen title is usually emotional. Rather than, I mean, there's no other obvious connection between the two. This poem, for example, is called Mood Indigo, title stolen, of course, from Duke Ellington and Billy Strayhorn, but it involves a woman in the rural American Midwest on a farm. Ellington was probably the most relentlessly urban American ever. Mood Indigo. Oh, one thing to say before I read this poem. There's a list of names of radio shows in this poem. This poem seems to take place in before television had done whatever it's done to American life. And when on late Sunday afternoons, everyone is bored on Sundays, is a loose translation of a French proverb, and Sunday afternoons are the worst. And in America, late on Sunday afternoons, the adults were dealing with their boredom however they did. But when I was a child, you could listen to a series of radio dramas, which were lurid, thrilling, sentimental, sensational, and designed for dreamy children, such as the a young woman in this poem is. Mood Indigo. From the porch, from the hayrick, where her prickled brothers hid and chortled and slurped into their young pink lungs the ash blonde dusty air that lay above the bales like low clouds, and from the squeak and suck of the well pump, and from the glove of rust it implied on her hand, from the dress parade of clothes in her moth-proofed closet, from her tiny Philco, a kind of radio, from her tiny Philco with its cracked speaker and Sunday litany, Nick Carter, The Shadow, The Green Hornet, Sky King, from the loosening bud of her body, from hunger, as they say, and from reading, from the finger she used to dial her own number, from the dark loam of the harrowed fields and from the very sky, it came from everywhere. Which is to say, it was always there and that it came from nowhere. It evaporated with the dew, and at dusk when dark spread in the sky like water in a blotter, it spread too, but it came back and curdled with milk and stung with nettles. It was in the bleat of the lamb, the way a clapper is in a bell, and in the raucous, scratchy gossip of the crows. It walked with her to school and lay with her to sleep, and at last she was well pleased. If she were to sew, she would prick her finger with it. If she were to bake, it would linger in the kitchen like an odor snarled in the deepest folds of childhood. It became her dead pet, her lost love, the baby sister blue and dead at birth, the chill headwaters of the river that purled and meandered and ran until it issued into her as into a sea. And then she was its and it was wholly hers. She kept to her room, as we learned to say, but now and then she'd come down and pass through the kitchen, and the screen door would close behind her with no more sound than an envelope being sealed. And she'd walk for hours in the fields like a lithe blue rain and end up in the barn, and one of us would go and bring her in.
That was Bill Matthews, fabulous American poet, reading at the Poet's House in 1992. Bill has a special connection to wordplay, even in absentia. He unfortunately passed away. But he's the father of Sebastian Matthews, who was a longtime co-host here on Wordplay, and a personal friend of mine when I was in Chapel Hill way back in the 1960s. Strange, but true. Anyway, always good to hear Bill's voice. He was one of the best, I think, of my generation. But here we are in the studio again, and it is time for us to ask you to call us and donate some money to keep us on the air at 258-0085. I'm here in the studio today, Jeff Davis with Barry Summers. And Barry, how are you today?
I'm great, Jeff. Thanks very much.
Another beautiful day here in Asheville.
It is gorgeous, isn't it?
Yeah, lovely. Lovely.
Perfect time to stop by the studio and donate to keep the community radio station alive. And also a beautiful day to come down and get a tour and pick out some gifts. Thank you gifts for your donation, or you can call in, of course, 258-0085. Wordplay is one of our locally produced fabulous shows that makes WPVM such a great resource. We bring you this because Jeff and others love poetry, love the spoken word, and want to bring their particular taste to our listeners, and Wordplay is certainly one of our more popular shows, so our listeners respond. So if you like Wordplay and some of the other programs that we produce only here at WPVM, call 258-0085 and show your support. And let's not forget, we do have Billy Bragg tickets still available for that show tonight for a $75 donation. You can get Billy Bragg tickets and support WPVM by calling 258-0085. We want all our listeners to be contributors. You are a part of this community. We are part of this community, and we're only here because you support us. 258-0085.
This is true people-powered radio. I mean, this is all volunteer. We have, 38 locally produced shows. I heard that figure on the way in. I hadn't done an actual count.
And new ones in the pipeline all the time.
Right, right. Constantly evolving. And it's really, really interesting radio. I have learned so much just by being on the air here, meeting the other volunteers, hearing music that I probably wouldn't have encountered out there in the airwaves otherwise. And it's been fascinating.
Myself included. And I'm as you know, more of the news end of the station. But I've been exposed to some wonderful music that I wouldn't have gotten anywhere else on the radio dial. And we get that unique and special sort of elevated status in Asheville. We get CDs from labels that don't bother sending them to commercial radio stations.
Right, because they know they're not going to be played.
Yeah, we get some of the best new music and avant-garde experimental music, reissues of great old classics, and just a huge range of CDs that labels from all over the world, not just America, but all over the world, send directly to WPVM because they know that we have such an eclectic mix of DJs. We play the CDs that they send us. We're not getting our playlist from some corporate office in Atlanta or Baltimore. We are your neighbors and people who live here in your community who have musical tastes that we want to share. And that only comes to you because you support WPVM. And you do that twice a year. We have always met or exceeded our goals, and we're very grateful to our listeners. The ones who call 258-0085, right now you can get your choice of some really wonderful thank you gifts, and you'll know that you're keeping Wordplay and other great locally produced programs on the air.
Thanks so much, Barry. Let's hear another poet.
The praise is a whole thing. This is the last welcome poem I'll do, but it's probably his most famous one. You know, most of our poets are whiners, you know? And you wouldn't believe the mother I had. I mean, you just wouldn't believe it. And I had a job, and Jesus. So you have to, you know, try to see, notice how much you're whining and how much you're praising. And if you don't like anybody, then get a painting and praise that. Hmm? You'll get to people eventually. To praise is a whole thing. A man or woman who can praise comes toward us like ore out of the silences of a rock. That heart that dies presses out for others a wine that lasts forever. That's good, the heart press. Wonderful. Isn't it amazing how we can do these images? They're called images, and they contain thinking, God knows. His heart that dies presses out for others a wine that is fresh forever. When the God's energy takes hold of him, his voice never collapses into dust. Everything turns to vineyards. Everything turns to grapes, made ready for harvest by his powerful south. The mold in the catacomb of the king does not suggest that his praising is lies. The mold in the catacomb of the king does not suggest that his praising is lies, nor the fact that the gods cast shadows. He is one of the servants who does not go away, who still holds through the doors of the tomb trays of shining fruit. Now that's a brilliant last stanza. We know where it came from, because one of the guys that was investigating Egyptian monuments just at that time found a opened a tomb, and there at the door of the tomb, after he got inside, there was the bones of a servant, bones lying there on the mantelpiece with a little plate with some old fruit in it. Bones still lying there with a little fruit in the plate. And Wilkie said, whoa, that is something. He is one of the servants who does not go away, who still holds through the doors of the tomb trays of shining fruit. So, that is Rainer Maria Rilke. You can clap for him, too.
That's a couple of musicians who came by the studio yesterday and set up out on the sidewalk and played for us most of the afternoon. That was Derek Graziano on hammered dulcimer and Laura Nicholson on cello. Very nice. They go by the group name, I guess, the Nomadic Minstrels, and you can check them out at Nomadic Minstrels at MySpace. So, very nice stuff. And I've been joined in the studio by two favorite poets, live and in person. We have Leanne Brown, who's been featured for the last 3 weeks.
Here I am again.
And here you are again. Gadzooks. Will it never end? She's everywhere. Leanne, thanks so much for coming in today.
Thanks for my birthday broadcast in October.
And you got to be on the air most of October.
Right.
Yeah. And we had a funeral in the family and so on and so on. But yeah, great. Great to see you. Right. So what are you up to now?
We're just doing more shows at our space in Marshall, the French Broad Institute of Time and the River, or FBI TAR, I guess. We did, Peter Cully read a great set last night there.
He's here today.
Peter Cully, the poet from Nanaimo, Vancouver Island, BC.
British Columbia, yeah.
And also Emily Lacey sang, as did Annie Rossi, played the her viola and sang.
Yeah. You wind up, I don't know where you come across these folks, but both Emily and Annie, I thought, just did stellar sets.
Yeah,
I really love the kind of permutations they do on traditional song.
And I thought it was a great combination with Peter because he has all this great musicality in his language and his references.
He does. Yeah. Very nice. Yeah. Very nice. That's something to keep an eye on here for those of you who are in our immediate listening area, the French Broad Institute of Time and the River. It's becoming like a major performance venue, which is truly astounding.
We have a MySpace page now, French Broad Institute.
Yeah.
Some pictures of the space and their upcoming schedules will be there.
Cool. We have to get you on Facebook, too.
Oh, yes.
Need to get you on Facebook.
Okay.
Great.
Well, I have a personal Facebook page you can link up to. Leanne Brown.
Leanne Brown, that's right. We are Facebook friends, in fact.
Leanne Brown.
Yeah. So we'll have to do a, French Broad Institute of Time in the River page, too, I think.
Okay.
That's, a good thing to do. A group. Create a group or something. So.
Yeah.
Or a fan page or something like that, so. Yeah. Well, you have some poems today?
Sure. This is a very short joke. The only joke I can remember. Question. Why does the Madonna always look so sad in paintings? Answer. She was hoping for a girl. Ever heard that the other day? This is a landmark we go by in Natural Bridge, Virginia. Coming down from New York to North Carolina, it's called Foam Hinge, not Stonehenge. You have a Foam Hinge poem, Peter, too?
Yeah. No, I was just there.
Yes, we took Peter by there on the way down. And this is mostly a found poem, so it's for Jonathan Williams. Foam Hinge. Upon coming across M. Klein's Foam Hinge near Natural Bridge, Virginia, in much the same manner as when driving across England to Glastonbury, we, quote, accidentally came across Stonehenge. The plaque says it all. Thank you for visiting Foamhenge, a full-scale replica of the mystical Stonehenge of England. Please enjoy yourself at this site, but please be gentle. It is foam, not stone. Built in 6 weeks by 4 to 5 Mexicans plus one crazy white man. That's what it says on the sign. It's not my words. And up on the bucolic hill, surrounded by the massive styrofoam stones, piling in the rain, scattered through the surrounding woods, another sign. Two great reasons you will not deface my sculpture. One, it's a federal offense to deface public or private property with a possible 1 year in prison plus $10,000 fine. Two, sometimes I hide plus watch. I'll let you scratch on Foam Hinge as I do the same to your parked vehicle. Don't be surprised. I'm nuts enough to do it. M. Klein.
Jonathan would like that.
They have benches there now.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah? At Foam Hinge?
Peter took some great pictures of it. It looks real, real.
Did they paint the foam? I mean, does it look like...
It's very convincing.
Very convincing, yeah. I'm going to have to go by there.
You can get to it too.
Yeah, it's
free. Closer.
And it's free.
And it's free.
Yeah, yeah. Huh. Huh. Cool. Excellent.
Here's a short poem called Ponder Otto, The Way Madison County Works. Ponder took out his little razor to scrape off my old inspection sticker. Then he started pasting on the new one. That'll be $9.10. Well, I hope it passes, says my dad, little dogwood sweat marks coming out of his head. Ponder's reply, well, you wanted it to, didn't you?
The way of the world in Madison County.
Yes. And I'll read one more poem and then sing a little coverlet. I'm glad for worship houses people build around the world, but the garden is my church, the woods my sanctuary, to do a little dance on a screened-in porch while no one is looking in my own dimension, a shady place, each find her own motif, ants filter in timed array, a start and stop coverlet.
Very nice.
And actually, I did want to read this one more before. It's called Double Southern Register. Here in the Appalachians, the phrase, I don't care, gives consent. Form follows function. Form mirrors function. The Mace family chair is said to, quote, make the sitter forget about chairs. Chairs are ruined for you. Once you've sat in one, you can't sit in any other. Northern, forget about it. I once wrote, tomatoes like warm bleeding hearts. After tasting tomatoes fresh picked from a hot North Carolina garden, and then could eat no other after that. Grocery store pallid ghost-like hothouse ones did nothing for me. But songs are made from that rarefied material, language that gives them a different nature, an antique that cannot be contained, stroked, or sold, a coverlet that will not rot nor unravel. And I wanted to do a song. It's a rewrite of A Mighty Fortress Is Our God for Sunday Afternoon.
Oh, I like this one. Yeah.
Almighty fortresses, open your doors. All swords to plowshares beaten. Why do our leaders lead us to wars? All vengeful hatred eaten. For still our ancient foe within us each doth grow. Our need for this is great. Disarm this cruel fate. Our words of love unscrew it. Thank you.
That's a lot of fun. Thanks so much, Leanne, for coming in today. That's great.
Thanks for having us.
Well, a pleasure. once again was the Nomadic Minstrels, otherwise known as Derek Graziano and Laura Nicholson, who came by and set up their instruments outside the studio yesterday as part of our Fall Fun Drive, just to entertain us for the afternoon. Really a marvelous way to spend the afternoon listening to wonderful music and welcoming people to the studio. It was really a hoot. If you missed it, stay tuned. We'll do another one. With us in the studio now, though, is another of my favorite poets, Peter Cully from Nanaimo, which is on the island, on Vancouver Island.
Yep.
About an hour away from Vancouver, as I recall, by ferry. And one of my favorite parts of the world. I spent 5 years there, so it grows on you.
It does.
Definitely does.
It's great to be back here, though.
Yeah. This is your second or third trip here?
Third or fourth now. Third or to fourth. The south, yeah, in yeah. Madison and Buncombe counties.
Lovely. Yeah. Yeah.
The first thing I'm going to read, which is from my book, The Age of Briggs and Stratton.
Which is just out.
Just out.
Yeah. And weird. Yeah.
From small press and Amazons of various descriptions.
Uh huh. It's what is it? Star Press or
a new Star.
New Star Press. Right.
And actually I should say I just got a prose book out called To the Dogs from Arsenal Pulp. So
okay.
If you really like excellent pictures of dogs, you should check it out.
Well, of course.
Ad. And don't forget to send your donations in to
That's right. Or you can call in at 258-0085.
If you got any money left.
That's right. So yeah.
And I like Leanne's poem about the Ponder license scraper. So this is kind of this is like a local poem. I know you guys have drought problems in this part of the world, and even though it's real rainy on the West Coast, lot of it doesn't hold the water too good.
Right.
And on the west coast of the island is a town called Tofino, which used to be a little kind of fisher hippie town, but has undergone a lot of growth with tourism and everything. And whale watching, etc. And so they completely ran out of water a couple of summers ago, so I wrote this poem for them. It's called A Poem for Tofino. That's all true.
As it were.
Yeah. At 6 o'clock, inside the Moose Hall, the first spaghetti supper of the fall. A word or thought, experiment gone awry, and the whole of Tough City went boneless dry. As boilers and radishes barged Alberni Canal, they found out the aquifer was not their pal. From Bremen they came, zucchini kayak and a dream of walking sticks with little badges and avocado wraps with nothing added, not to be told to dig their own hole. We voted you in because we didn't need you. We should have checked your leaning lean-to. And now the dues bribed off the lawn, and from infant eyes the tears are drawn. The empire's here, but the water's gone.
Lovely.
And another little shorty. This is one of my many dog poems. Even though I'm not a dog owner, I end up writing about them a lot. I don't know why. This is Odie, who's a neighborhood dog who moved and passed a couple of years ago. Ode. Farewell, dog, not native to the valley, but like me, too, an all-weather patriot and devotee of its unbillable hours. Sans cats and purebred jogging helmets, with at least the possibility of chicken in a broth from a ditch made with something else living. Fur weatherproofed with coal tar and sulfur, until only a rain of little punches sunk into haunches could wake the sleeping beast from his dream of bacon. He was a notoriously bad dog, Odie. He'd had a small career as a chicken killer before I knew him, but it had kind of hung around him. And
that's the dream.
So he was regarded as very, he was a bad odor with the neighborhood, but he was a great dog.
Right.
Was it short for odious?
He was, yeah. No, he really was.
Odiferous?
He'd look at you with those big, slightly crossed eyes, and he was a great dog. I loved him. This is another just sort of goofy little. This is The Wire. It's a series of. There's another one later on, but.
Okay.
The Wire. Then the tree, if not time, at least Art Blakey. Hard bop with a touch of the parade ground, in a good way. The orderly handling by many bird species, crowded up amongst the short-term food emergency, giving way on the good branches, keeping beefs short, etc. Then everybody gets their designated seconds of bark digging unmolested. Maybe some eavesdrop spider web, but stepping up, clean and bright in bandstand order with a solo worked up ahead of time, so that routine becomes display and spring can begin to operate.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. Read us another one. You didn't bring in your white...
I did not bring in, you know, because I'm so dedicated to pushing my new book.
The current book, right?
The next section of the book is called Parkway, and the first section is called just Hammertown. But it's basically just a way of having a kind of a case to put things in. This is called Crazy Rhythm. To speed up or slow down at will like that, like Anita, no matter the lyrics, arcs, or who you're playing with, or in what vehicle careering, depends on the services over decades of a drummer. Roy Haynes and Sassy would be another example. Capable of lowering 6 whirring brushes onto a linseed darkened dream sideboard, while defending a pierogi supper from a platoon of gibbons. Imagine having such a pedal to press. Messing with the band would just be the start. To feel the Tin Pan Alley world snapping like a green twig. But how tough after negotiating, now that speech is king again, the cabless dawn. Maybe one more here.
Yeah.
Okay. This is like the last, it's IKEA Deserta.
Oh, yeah.
So now it's dedicated to Red Hook, I guess, in New York, which just got an IKEA, so the people there can get their meatballs and couches. Leave sleep to those in charge of sleep. The bus, he knows the way. The pussycat anarchists won't blow up the viaduct tonight. You can rely on me. On mattresses, masters bestir cozily. By thread counts, unmolested. Noisily, easily, easily, noisily. But otherwise untested. Planet it up for the business of orbiting dirty snowball courses, what tire biters flicked at cops. Nothing is as still as this sentence, which I began a million days ago, lifting myself onto the bamboo hula while laces dragged the barren sea, to wake folded in the folds of forfer, in full dark stars coiling, mystic pools of social housing, and ghosts in full monologue, and all of it melting, not into green icing, but holes, which are then patched over with similar stuff taken from elsewhere.
Can you do the Peach Knee High as an encore?
Oh.
Peach Knee, yeah, like that's Tier 1 poem.
That's okay. Yeah,
that very local in flavor.
That's very local. You know, I'm a lover of soda. And we stopped. Where's that little restaurant in between Hot Springs and Marshall?
Oh, that little, the Eddie, was Steady Eddie? The coffee shop?
There's a bridge.
Steady Eddie.
And that really was some good orange pop there. I love being down here for that. And
was it knee high?
Was peach? No, it was unknown. It was some varietal natural brand.
Oh.
It wasn't the delicious but artificial knee high. Anyway, it's All the Dopes He Could Drink, which is a title I took from a great book written about Madison County called, written and photographs of Madison County called The Sodom Laurel Album. And one of the
Rob Amberg's
amazing book. Right. One of the people depicted in that didn't have any money, but he was allowed to have all the Coca-Cola and cigarettes. And I love the fact that they called Coca-Cola or any kind of soda dopes.
Right, right.
So it's All the Dopes He Could Drink, Sodom Laurel album. But I think there's a kind of the sweet part is a mild quote from Gertrude Stein. Sip apple juice and ice melt, and ice melt, and ice melt, and ice melt, and ice melt. Sweet, 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 sweet tea. Sweet, 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 sweet tea. Sweet, 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 sweet tea. Peach knee-high over the Laurel Falls, cheer wine, the unnamed second-best orange pop ever after Narvik Fanta, a tangerine kick through undiagnosed veins with black floaters, spelling your name, bonjour tristesse, when Gene Seberg's narration moved from compromised monochrome present to a blue scope past, impressive even on pan and scan VHS for its unblinking existentialist noonday. No thirst, therefore, no beverages till cocktails at the casino, no picnics, not even the Circean constellation of objects. Just the stairs to the beach, a foreground agreement, a narrow recession, an unplugged record player that had earlier spun Georges Auric's 1958 pre-Shankar version of teenage ambient, the kind someone might remember in a narration, who'd suppressed, as I, this yoo-hoo-colored river, everything else. It's like it was the French Broad was you who colored that time I was down. It's very blue now though.
Right. Yeah. Yoo-hoo, for those who don't know, is a chocolate pop, right?
Right. It kind of looks like milk, but it's not.
Yeah. It looks like chocolate. But I don't think it's chocolate.
It's either. Probably not chocolate either.
Right? No, something's good.
Oh. Well, Peter's going to be in town for another week, I believe, or 6 days, 5 days, something like that. So we're going to try and record a whole show with Peter and really feature his work. So thanks so much, guys, for coming in.
Thank you, Jeff. Really appreciate it.
A treat.
Love your station.
Call and send money.
That's right. Call and send money.
Money. Money.
And that phone number is 258-0085. Where else are you going to hear poetry on the air, especially live and in person? It's a hoot. We're one of the few places in the whole country that I know of. I think there's one station out in San Diego, California, that also does live poetry on occasion. And other than that, the pickings are slim. But here you are. Here you are. Thanks so much for coming in, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff. Thank you.
was a little Pierre Bensouzon, one of the great French Algerian guitarists. And here we are back in the studio once again, reminding you, our devoted listeners out there in Radio Land, that it is fall fun drive time. And you could help us out. You can help keep poetry on the air here at WPVM 103.5, the Progressive Voice of the Mountains, and now People Powered Radio, by calling 258-0085 and making a donation.
That's right. When we know that that listeners like programming, like wordplay, and when you listen to this, think about what it takes to keep this show on the air, and it's relatively small price to pay on your part for twice a year for you to give $5, $10, $50 to keep programs like Wordplay on the air, and you can call 258-0085, and it's our goal is for every listener to make a contribution, no matter what size. You'll certainly receive our thanks and our support, and we know that you like Wordplay. And if you want to demonstrate that and make sure that Wordplay stays on the air, please call 258-0085.
Indeed. Or you could go online and make a pledge on the website. That would be a possibility. We know that many of our listeners are actually listening over the internet. So that's an option. You could also call, if you're calling long distance, the area code is 828. So that would be 828-258-0085 that you could call. Or, I guess you could just send us a check through the mail to our studios here on 75, Haywood Street.
75 Haywood Street, Asheville, North Carolina, 28801.
Right.
And thanks for all the people who have donated so far. This is our fall fun drive. It's our fifth anniversary as Asheville's community radio station. We are people-powered radio, now more than ever volunteer-driven, and we're going to our listeners for support. And you've always supported us in the past, and we thank you for your continued support now, 258-0085.
Yeah, it's off to a great start, and you can really help us keep it going at a really strong pace by calling that number, 258-0085, indeed. All right, thanks so much, Barry.
The centerpiece of this book is a sequence of poems about the death of my beautiful youngest brother from AIDS. And this poem is called L'Art Brut, excuse my French. That's a museum of brute art, a museum that I just happened upon when I was with students in Lausanne, Switzerland. And it's all of the art there was done by people who were either mentally ill or terminally ill, hospitalized in one way or the other. Hmm. And so the abiding image that I started with in this poem was watching my brother make candles. Mm-hmm. L'Art Brut. On the fifth day of my visit, after the sweet and heady cruise through Napa and Sonoma, the walk along the Castro, where the homeless sick waited for the doors of the cannabis club to open, all legal, my brother assured me. After the starry, perforated big top of the Russian River, he asks if today I could explore alone, shop or something, so he might rest while his weekly artificial fix of immunity takes hold. So I leave to buy scarves and end-of-season dresses, to forage the gleaming stalls of mackerel and sole, and in the cooling evening return, surprised to find him kneeling in his backyard, making, of all things, candles. His terrace is pocked with holes, across which the rays of yellow pencils dangle from their centers, makeshift wicks. All day he has been pouring wax, reds and blues and greens, the salvaged stuff of wings, now hardening in each sandy grave. I sit on the steps and watch as he digs the earth from around each candle, exhuming his finished products, and I see how, before pouring the wax, he had pressed into the sides of each hole bright shards of colored glass, variegated stones bejeweling the clumsy creations I help carry inside and place along the dimming windowsill. Once in Lausanne, after the obligatory tours of Europe's finest museums, the apples of Cezanne, Monet's lilies, the measured elegance of the Renaissance, I happened upon a museum filled with works of the terminally ill, tramps and unschooled visionaries. L'Art Brut, I was told, then left to wander the shuttered rooms, touching the impossible colors, the tortured metamorphoses of debris and olive branch, shell effigies, the heart's self-portraits gouged from the rotted bark of stumps. And the cell of a man who before he died carved every square inch, the elaborate iconography of cathedrals coaxed from the headboard of his bed, the floor, the walls, the sill of his barred door, first with his fork, and when they took away his fork, his spoon, and when they took away his spoon, the handle of his chamber pot.
That was Kathy Smith Bowers reading right here in the studios of WPVM on a show from, I believe it was 2006. Before that, earlier in this show, we heard Robert Bly reading at UNCA, a translation of Rilke. Some great stuff. Thank you.
are listening to Wordplay on WPVM LP Asheville, a broadcast service of the Mountain Area Information Network. And now it's time for Sirens Muse, but first, I need to encourage you to call 828-258-0085. That is the number to call to donate. You are tuned in during our fall fun drive. We are people-powered radio, and we need your support. Jeff, hey.
Hey there. How are you, AJ?
Hey, Lori.
Hey.
And I kept Jeff in the studio because I wanted to talk about something Jeff and I have in common. We are two people who had something we wanted to bring to the air and could not find a venue for until the birth of WPVM 5 years ago. This is our five-year anniversary
That's right.
Time to donate. Yeah. Tell us about your career with the Recording Authors Around and how long you've been at it and everything.
Oh, gee. Well, I started recording poets back in the 70s. Part of my, in grad school, of course, I had the good fortune to be in Robert Creeley's classes in Buffalo. And he was one of my favorite poets already. But he had the most incredible intelligence, in terms of just an absolute intelligence for poetry. Just an amazing guy. And so I started recording his readings. And, this was all before I had any sense of the Black Mountain College Museum and Art Center, Black Mountain College. There was no Museum and Art Center at that point. But it happens that, of course, Creeley brought his friends to Buffalo, and those friends were mostly Black Mountain College poets like Ed Dorn. And so I started recording them as well. So I've been at it since the 70s. I had this little trusty reel-to-reel Ewer German tape recorder, and for years used it. It finally gave out in the 90s, but it was a well-made little machine. And I'd gotten it... Initially, had gotten a grant from the Research Foundation of the State University of New York to record potlatches in British Columbia, and used it for that, and said, well, here, I've got this nice machine. I might as well record poets with it, too. So I did.
Yeah. And then, not to mention any other stations' names, but you tried to get on air at another station.
Yeah. They weren't interested, of course.
Mm-hmm. When I moved back, I had actually started Sirens Muse in 1998 in Memphis, Tennessee, on a station there. And when I moved to Asheville in 2000, I tried to find a venue to do Sirens Muse. To no avail. There is no place else in this town. It's all a closed club everywhere else. If you have an idea and you want to bring something to the airwaves, this is the place you need to be. We are all volunteer run. Anyone can volunteer. Anybody can pitch an idea for a show and get on the air. And that's one of the beauties of it all.
It is.
And if you appreciate that, now's the time to call 828-258-0085 and show your support.
Indeed.
Lori has been on the air on Wordplay at various points and has subbed for Sirens Muse.
Lori was actually one part of the founding committee of Wordplay.
Yeah, I was the founding committee, and I did the first show of Wordplay.
That's
You did.
That's right, with three UNCA students.
That's right.
And they were all excited. You're like, forgot, right?
Well, I knew you were involved, but I didn't know you were the very first show. That's great.
Yeah.
And where else can, students from get on air around here?
You got me.
Or anywhere.
This is the place.
We got a new show that's going to be coming up sometime soon that's called Simon Says. It's like a teenager who's going to be doing a show on here.
Oh, cool.
That's going to be fun.
Cool. Excellent.
Yeah. So we're going to get going with Sirens Muse. We got tons and tons and tons of things to give away in the music lists and the music departments and general news and end gifts. The best way to look at the entire list is go to WPVM.org. There's links to the gifts there.
The gifts and giveaways.
Yes. My co-host Susan, who will appreciate her volunteer efforts. We are all volunteers. None of us get paid. We've been volunteering around here, and we're contributors. We would love to hear from you.
And is this your fifth season?
This is my fourth.
Fourth. Yeah. So we came on about the same time.
You did.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Indeed. And that phone number is 258-0085.
That's right. And we're going to start.